Open and turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4. And we're going to read just one verse there. I want to talk to you this morning about the Word of God, but maybe some things a little different and more specific about the Word. For those that have joined us via the Internet, we're happy that you have. And let me put in a commercial real quick for all of those that are on the Internet and remind you that our Bible conference is coming up this weekend. If you're not going to be here, we will be broadcasting every session live over the Internet, and they will also be archived on the Internet. So we'll have our first message Friday night at 7 p.m. And rather than me go through all of that this morning, when you tune in the chat part down there, Billy will post the times of the preaching. And when we take breaks, at least one time during the conference when we've got a big crowd, we're going to try, everybody turn around and wave at the camera, because everybody always sends these, why don't you leave the camera running during the break? Well, what that does is that makes the file too big to store, so we have to cut it off and start it over again. But all of you on the Internet, tune in. You'll hear some great messages throughout the weekend. We'll have the preachers Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning, probably around 10 or 11 preachers. What I want to talk to you about this morning, about the Word, is the supernatural or spiritual nature of the Word of God. And when Jerry got started this morning, I thought he was going to just dive right into what I was going to do. And I thought, I'm not asking you to teach anymore. This will kind of dovetail into what he was talking about. When I make the statement, the Word of God, what do you immediately think about? Your Bible, right? The Bible, the pages, the Word. In other words, this is the Word of God. Well, I want you to consider the fact of that the Word of God is obviously that. But there's also a spiritual nature to the Word, in the sense of the verse Jerry used, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In other words, could a person be saved without having ever opened a Bible? Certainly they could. How would that become about? Through spoken words. The power is in the words. Now, in Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews says in verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, I believe that verse there speaks greatly to the spiritual nature of the Word of God, as well as the written. For it says, the Word of God is quick and powerful. In other words, quick, it has to be with making alive. Sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. I want you to go back with me, if you will, to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Now, in the Old Testament, God spoke through the prophets. And they wrote down what God said. Not everything he said to them was probably written down, but he spoke through the prophets. And we have recorded what he wanted us to have that was spoken to those prophets. In John 1, verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God." Now, I do not believe that God was sitting up in heaven with a book with a leather cover and some pages in it at that point. In the beginning was the Word. It was always there. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now we know from that statement who he's talking about, don't we? That is the Lord Jesus Christ that is spoken of. But in John chapter 1, he's called the Word. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. This is where this kind of ties in with what Jerry was doing this morning. In other words, when Jesus Christ came to this earth, what came to the earth? The Word of God. And Jesus Christ spoke the Word of God. He said, I came not to do the will of myself, but the will of my Father. And he spoke that which God would have him speak. He never spoke independently of the Heavenly Father. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And over in verse 14, the Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. But what happened? They killed the Word. They put the Word to death. You know why? They didn't like the Word, and they didn't like the words. At one point, Jesus Christ says in the book of John, ye are of your father the devil, and the deeds of your father you'll do. You think those Pharisees like that? No. And so what did they do? They said, we will not have this Word. We would rather rest in the word of the prophets and Moses. And they condemned Christ. And they ultimately put him to death. And the devil thought he had won. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul said, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you what? The testimony of God. Whose words were the Apostle Paul speaking? The words of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Where did Paul gather the information that he knew about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and what it accomplished? Not by simply being there present, if he was, and seeing Christ die. He said, I came to you declaring unto you the testimony of God. God testified to the Apostle Paul what he did there at the cross when Christ died. And Paul knew it. And so he conveyed that information to the Corinthians. He said, I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. By the way, the Corinthians, according to chapter 1, were saved people. Anybody that says that Christ and him crucified is not enough information to get a person saved needs to read the verse. The Corinthians were saved by the gospel that Paul preached, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. And Paul didn't have a whole lot of other information to give them at that time. He said, I couldn't because you're yet carnal. But notice what he says there. Verse 3, and I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of what? The Spirit and of power. Notice that capital S. Well, then when Paul spoke, what was he speaking? He was speaking the words of God Almighty. Now, stay with me. I'll get to the punchline here in a minute. Verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor are the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Word, the Lord of glory, it says. They wouldn't have killed the Word if they had known what Christ was accomplishing by going there to the cross. Because God had another word. God is always going to have the last word. And the word for you and I today in this dispensation is not the words that were spoken by Jesus Christ. Oh yes, those are important words. And there's much to be learned from those words. Just like Jerry's talking about this morning. But come on, folks. A person is not going to get saved by the doctrine presented in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Word was put on a cross. And He was nailed to that cross, and He died, and He was buried, and He rose again the third day, and He ascended 40 days later into heaven. And on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came. He said, if I go away, I'll send the Spirit to you, and He'll give you what you're to speak. Speak words. So they spoke the Word. They were the words of God, supernaturally endowed by the Holy Spirit. Look back in Acts chapter 9. In Acts chapter 9. There was a man by the name of Saul, Stephen, when he was preaching in Acts chapter 7. Stephen was speaking the words of God, and it infuriated those that he spoke to, and they put him to death. Saul was consenting to his death, and the Bible says, at that time there was great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. It's not the church, the body of Christ, the church which was at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 9, we find this man Saul, and the verse says in verse 1, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. If you want to understand, look back in Acts chapter 2. That word, kicking against the pricks, notice what it was. In Acts chapter 2, verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made that same Jesus whom you've crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. In other words, the Word of God had an effect upon them that Peter was preaching. Saul heard that same message. And yet he was resisting that message. And so the Lord said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. That is that message you're hearing. And notice what happened back in Acts 9:6. He trembling and astonished said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. The Lord spoke to the Apostle Paul. Paul said, I declare unto you the testimony of God. Look over in Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians 1, the last five or six words in verse 23, he says, Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Verse 24, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill what? The word of God. And that word fulfill, the Greek word is plero, and it means to complete, finish. It's like filling a glass right to the brim. Listen, folks, Paul's writings filled up and completed the Word of God as far as you and I are concerned, and we have everything we need to know about God Almighty in this Word. And it was given by God. Now, think about this. Go back to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Notice there in verse... Look in verse 4. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Notice it speaks. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word, and by the way, this is from Deuteronomy. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You notice Paul is quoting an Old Testament passage. When Moses stood there before the people and proclaimed unto them the commandments, the judgments, and so forth, what was he telling them? Was he giving them what he learned at school? No, he was giving them the Word of God Almighty. And he says to them, the Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the Word of faith which we preach. In other words, there are people today, you preach the gospel to them, they hear it, but they don't believe it. But they have it. The word is nigh thee, in thy heart, and that is the word which we preach. Now notice over in verse 17. He said, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where did faith come for the nation Israel? By the word of God. Was it the same word that Paul spoke? Absolutely not. It was the word given through Moses. It's all the word of God, folks. And it's called in your Bible, specifically in relation to the gospel, the word of truth. And Paul said in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You see, this idea of rightly dividing the word is not just so that we can be different and have a small crowd. It's not just so we can be different and infuriate people. The reason we do that, folks, is because that's the only way you can show people today how to be saved. Say, well, there's people saved in all these other denominations. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If they are, they got saved by believing Paul's gospel. And they might not even understand or know anything about the concept of rightly dividing, but if they got saved, they got saved by Paul's gospel, because that's the only gospel that saves today. The word of truth. You see, the word is preached. People hear. And either they believe or they reject. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1. You see, the real point in all of this is the seriousness of proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. I mean, man, stand up and just haphazardly take Scripture and throw them out there and tell people you got to obey the commandments, you got to follow after Jesus, you got to keep the commandments, sell what you got, all that kind of stuff. That's a dangerous thing. That's misusing the Word of God. It's handling the Word of God deceitfully. It's corrupting the Word of truth. In Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, Paul said to these that he's writing back to, that he'd gotten saved after he had been to Ephesus, he says, "In whom ye also trusted." But notice the sequence of events. "After that ye heard" what? "The word of truth," comma, "the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." In other words, the word of truth, comma, "the gospel," was the gospel of their salvation, "in whom also, after you believed," he said, "you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." What did they do? They heard. They believed. Could they have rejected? Certainly they could have, and many did. But the fact is, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I want you to understand, folks, it's important that we open our mouth and speak the Word of God. And speak the gospel to people. Because that's how God, in other words, God Almighty sent His Son to earth, and He stayed here for 33 and a half years. And for the last 3 years of His life, He ministered upon the earth, proclaiming that which God wanted proclaimed. And men rejected it. And they put Him to death. When He ascended into heaven, He saved the Apostle Paul over in Acts chapter 9 and said that He was going to give us His Spirit. And He did. Romans chapter 8, if you're saved, you've got the Spirit of God indwelling you. Well, Jesus Christ isn't going to show up in church next Sunday somewhere and proclaim to you anything different than what's written down in this King James Bible. Now, men are going to proclaim something different than what's written down, but Christ isn't. So how is the thing functioning today? God saved a man, the Apostle Paul. He gave him the gospel of Christ, the dispensation of the gospel, the dispensation of grace, and today we're in the dispensation of the grace of God. We're living in that dispensation. And the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. How are people going to get that? They're going to get it how God designed that they get it. The church, the body of Christ, is to function just like Christ. In other words, what I'm trying to get across, the spiritual nature of the Word of God is that just like Christ was here as the Word in a physical sense, today God Almighty is, through a spiritual sense, using the members of the body of Christ to convey His truth to a lost and dying world. And that's the only way they're going to get it. Thus, what has the devil done? If he that cometh preacheth another Jesus or another gospel, or another spirit, you might well bear with him. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. 1 Corinthians 2. I've got 3 pages of notes here, and I haven't even got the first point yet. This is just, we're about done with the introduction. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We read down through verse 7 for time's sake. Let's just read verse 7. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So it was already planned out. It was already made known. It was already there, just like in the beginning was the Word. But it was kept a secret. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us, how? By his Spirit. I've got a note in my Bible that I wrote one night when Brother Moore was preaching. This is an old Bible, folks. I had to put tape in it again this morning. It's just hanging on by a thread. Brother Moore made a statement one time. He said, you can take that word spirit there in verse 10, circle it, draw a line out to the margin, and write out there, King James Bible. And I did that. Why? God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. God's not revealed anything to you that's not written down in this book right here. And those that claim he has, they're lying. Don't believe them. Because when they do that, it opens the door for that other... Now think about it. Another Jesus, another gospel, and what? Another spirit. It's not the Spirit of God that empowers a man to stand up and speak in tongues. It's not the Spirit of God that empowers a man to stand up and lie about the truth of salvation. It's another spirit. He says, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, that's how we communicate with each other. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known what? Notice this now. The mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. We've got it, folks. It's laying there before you. The mind of Christ. You see, this word is God's element for imparting faith to individuals today. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Do you have a free choice? Yes, you do. Say, well, I just don't have enough faith. Well, then believe, and you will. Believe the word. You can, I mean, you choose to do everything else in the world. You can choose to believe. Or you can choose to go on and believe a lie. Or you can believe the truth. You can choose. People say, well, how do you know that the Word of God is true? By faith. Can you prove it? Nope. I believe it. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It is God's element for imparting faith. The Word is the Word of truth, as we read there. Notice back in over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 7. 1 Corinthians 6, let's start in verse 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. Notice over in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Four times, 2 Corinthians 6, 7, Ephesians 1, 13, Colossians 1, 5, and 2 Timothy 2, 15, Paul mentions this word of truth. It has to do with the gospel. So what was I talking about when I was talking about rightly dividing the word of truth? Distinguishing the message of salvation that was given to Israel from that which is for the church. That's the word of truth. That word is the word of reconciliation. Look back in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Well, it's interesting, in verse 18, he said he's given us the ministry of reconciliation. And in verse 19, he said he's committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Well, I'll tell you what that'll do. That'll tell you what your ministry is. The ministry is proclaiming the word of reconciliation. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses. And reconciliation obviously has two parts. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. You see, we tell people what God did, but we have no control over what you're going to do. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You need to be reconciled to God by receiving that which Christ did at Calvary in your behalf. That's the word of reconciliation. It's the word of truth. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, holding forth the word of life. Think about that. Folks, you've been given words that you can speak that actually impart life to people. Look over in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me for the account of me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should have to believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Now notice, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which was before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith. Well, where did Timothy's faith come from? The Word. And a good conscience, which some, having put away concerning faith, have made shipwrecked. They've swerved. They've gone away from the Word of God. You see, the Word is what brings salvation. The Word is what establishes us. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy 1 verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Paul said to the Corinthians that he came to them preaching the testimony of God. The testimony of our Lord. Nor of me as prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Remember, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's not that Paul's saying he's just not timid about it. Paul is saying, I have full confidence is that that gospel will save you if you'll believe it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now notice, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It's been brought to light how you can live forever, folks. Jesus Christ came in a physical body. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and that Word was put to death. But God wasn't through. God saved a man and gave him the testimony of Jesus Christ of what was accomplished there. And for 2,000 years now, that's been made known. And yet men want to corrupt it. They want to tell you that death and immortality is by your good works, by being baptized, by being part of a religion. But what God wants you to know is that death and immortality has been brought to light by what He did at Calvary, by the gospel of Christ, and by believing that, you can live forever. That's the spiritual nature of God's Word, is those words have the power to impart life to an individual that would believe it. It's like Jerry was talking about this morning. It just seems too easy. It seems too simple. That you could sit there in that pew this morning, or sit there before that computer where you are, and hear some words, and believe those words, and trust those words, and be translated from life, from death unto life. Surely, Steve, there must be more to it than that. There's got to be a prayer that you would say. There must be somewhere you would have to go. I never will forget listening to Billy Graham on TV. My mother, we used to listen to him every week when he was on. And one night, he told a story. He was in Arizona, I believe it was. And he started to give the invitation. And when he did, he said, there's a woman that has driven 400 miles to be here tonight to get saved. And I want her to be the first one to step out and walk down this aisle. You know what my dad said? He said she should have saved her gas money. I mean, Brother Moore used to talk about, there Billy Graham was telling people how to get saved. You drive 400 miles to get saved? And then he would turn to the camera and say, now you sitting in your living room, if you'll trust Jesus Christ. Well, how come those people in sitting in their living room get saved, but these people got to come down to the front, confess the Lord? You see how confusing that is, folks? The devil will do anything he can to deceive people from the simplicity of the gospel. It's so simple, and yet the complication has come. from mankind. Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, he says, we've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Think about that. It can be handled deceitfully. It can be made of none effect. Well, what was the last thing Paul told Timothy? Look there in verse chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, that has appeared in his kingdom, preach the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among him. Man put him to death. God raised him up. He ascended into heaven. And the last man he appeared to was the Apostle Paul. And he gave him the gospel, the good news for this dispensation that's been preached for 2,000 years now. Our charge is exactly the same thing. Preach the word. Why? Because it goes beyond simply a book with pages. There is the spiritual nature of the word of God, that those words have the power of life and of death. And therefore we're to open our mouth. The word is nigh thee in thy heart and thy mouth. Speak it. Make it known. Preach the word. And just like people rejected Jesus Christ in his fleshly coming, they will reject the word today. But just like there were those that accepted Jesus Christ in his fleshly coming, there are those that will accept the word today. You don't know who they are, where they are. Therefore, just speak it to everybody you can. Because you may speak it to somebody that's willing to believe it and accept it and trust it and be changed from death unto life in the very moment that they believe and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, trusting Him and Him alone. If you've never done that, that's just how simple it is, folks. So, you know, I've noticed that when you witness to people, and I used the illustration about that lady out in Jackson a couple of weeks ago, but I've noticed that almost without exception, that people keep waiting for you to give them something to do. They keep in their mind, so what is it I need to do? Nothing. It's just like the night I asked Brother Moore. I said, Brother Moore, let's go back here. And this was an office at the time right back here. And I sat down. I said, Brother Moore, I'm not sure I'm saved. He said, well, I don't know what you think I can do for you. I said, what do you mean? He said, you've preached the gospel. You've heard the gospel. Either you believe it or you don't. Nothing I can do for you. I thought surely he would give me a prayer to say or something. About 3 or 4 weeks after that, one Sunday night, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I quit trying and trusted. That's the power of God's Word, folks. It's a wonderful thing that we can know today that salvation is by grace, through faith, not works, not doing anything, not accomplishing anything, just resting in what Jesus Christ has already done. If you've never done that, do it today for Christ's sake. Would you stand with me for prayer?